Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
3 weeks ago, Fred, we began our program mentioning six science news headlines, and we only got to the first three, and we said we'd discuss the last three on the next show. Well, it's not the next show. It's been a few shows now.
Yeah, we've had some listeners that really wanted to hear about those stories that we left as teasers.
Yeah, my brother from South Carolina called me, and he's a strong introvert, so right there, that's a great honor that he called. And he said he loved that show, this is Dave, and how it built up, you know, the momentum and how rewarding, enjoyable it was to listen to. So thank you, David, for that comment on Real Science Radio's list of scientists doubting Darwin. And we did that, Fred, because we got distracted with Darwin Day, right? The media.
Yeah. And, you know, their claim that virtually all scientists are evolutionists.
Yes. Yeah, so
we had to tackle that one again.
Yeah. And we showed the thousands, many thousands, tens of thousands, undoubtedly. And all the ones, they're being emboldened to come forward, but many have been fired. There has been the slaughter of the dissidents, as Jerry Bergman wrote it, and he has documented this in incredible detail of all the scientists who've been fired because even if they only question Darwinism or they're written out of the history books like off of Wikipedia, even if they're a famous paleontologist. So, but there's so many now doubting Darwin that it's really providing some safety for others to stick their head up and say, hey, I'm doubting Darwin, too.
Yeah, we know quite a few, actually, and yes. Some of them have come forward. Some are still kind of waiting for the right moment. But then we were also distracted with the news from the far side of the moon. Whoa. Now, that's something you can't say every day.
That's right. It was thanks to the Chinese space program. They said that the far side of the moon is 30 degrees colder than the near side. And so that brought our attention to transient lunar phenomena, TLP, observations of hundreds of short-lived lunar geological events, which, well, they just shouldn't be happening if the moon is 4 billion years old, as you quoted, Fred, from some science textbook.
Yeah, that said it was cold, dead, and inert.
Right. Well, it sure seems to be alive, even with, as discovered in 2011, its molten outer core. That's just stunning when that heat should have dissipated billions of years ago because the moon is relatively so small. So why don't we start reviewing the six news stories, even the ones we've already covered?
Yeah, like the Midwest freeze, you know. Does every forest fire and hurricane show global warming, but every record cold is just plain weather?
Yeah, why?
Not climate. You ignorant fool.
Yeah, that's what they say, right? It's just weather, you fool. You know who says that? That's like you're quoting every person who believed Jussie Smollett.
Oh, man, what an incredible
story. Every person
who
believed him would say that every hurricane and forest fire is proof of global warming, but record colds are only weather. That cracks me up. Fred, we should mention something about that hoax. Why don't we do that in just a moment?
Okay.
Because it doesn't really fit into RSR, but as soon as we list these headlines, maybe we can
chat
about
that. Yeah, but you've got great
stuff
on God's criminal justice system, so I think it's worth the time.
Yeah, Bob and Yurt Live. It's a perfect Bob and Yurt Live topic, theonomy. Which is a word a lot of Christians are not familiar with, theonomy. So, okay, let's do that in a moment. Then also, we talked about the oldest earth rock ever found. Where they found it.
They found that rock on the moon.
On the moon. And that's because all scientists work for Walt Brown.
Yep.
So that's a lot of fun. Then the furthest galaxies that were identified years ago. And, Fred, we use these in our video, The Evidence Against the Big Bang. And when people Google Big Bang predictions, we're honored to be number one at Real Science Radio. kgov.com, our website. And when they Google evidence against the Big Bang, we do pretty well. And so the furthest galaxies are enormous, and they were supposed to be based on the Big Bang theory, a fundamental prediction of the theory. They were supposed to look like baby galaxies just forming. Instead, they look like galaxies all around us. They're old and grumpy.
Yeah, and twice their impossible size.
Yes, right. Right, so that was the latest news from a couple months ago. They now have observed that those furthest galaxies are twice as large as they thought they were, which only makes the impossibility doubly impossible for the Big Bang theory to be true.
Well, speaking of evidence against the Big Bang, you've got a tremendous video on this in DVD. There's some clips on YouTube also, but yeah, man, the DVD has everything. It's great.
It's also available on Blu-ray.
Blu-ray, yep, and it'll help our telethon. This is still telethon month, remember?
That's right.
Yeah.
We're about, and it's rough to say because it discourages people, because our goal is $40,000. And we're at $9,000, and the month is almost over.
Yeah.
Well, it's not almost over. But, you know, our listeners are the neatest, most wonderful medieval torture chamber operators that there's ever been. Typically, our telethons, it's not until the last day or two where we make up like 50, 60% of the goal.
You know, it's like that Windows progress bar that gets to 99%, and then you wait another hour.
There.
You go get a cup of coffee.
Yeah, why does that happen?
I don't know.
Anyway, we're so humbled by every person who gives $5, $10, and someone just gave one of our Denver area listeners $1,000 through the website, went to rsr.org, clicked on the store, made a donation. So that was just awesome.
Wow, that is so cool.
And who knows? There might be somebody out there who could help us get over the hump. There could be a $5,000 or $10,000 donation out there, or more, possibly, but probably not. People who are waiting for that guy to step forward, if you make a donation, let's say a $50 monthly, that's applied as $500 toward the telethon.
Yeah.
Because we multiply all monthly subscriptions, Bible studies, sermons, topical videos, all of that. We multiply any subscription by 10 and put it toward the telethon goal.
Yeah, a lot of the videos are produced by RSR, but there's a couple of there's other videos that are third party that we've vetted that are our favorites. That we've really taken the time to watch them and, so the store has the best of the best.
Yeah, really, really great. And 30-day money-back guarantee on everything.
Yep.
So, and that's always been that way. And if someone can't afford one of our resources, then as we've said from day one, 28 years ago, whatever you can afford. So the goal, this is a business, Fred. People think this is maybe a ministry, not for profit. We wanted it to be, but the IRS said, well, then you can't talk about partisan politics.
Yeah.
And we said, well, we're going to tell people that if a candidate supports killing children, it's immoral to vote for that candidate, whether he's Republican or Democrat. It doesn't matter. And the IRS said, you can't do that. And we said, oh, yeah, just watch us. So anyway, they turned down our – we were hated by the IRS before hating the IRS was cool.
Yeah.
We might have been the first back then.
Before Lois Lerner went on her rampage against conservative groups.
Yes, in refusing them nonprofit status. Anyway, for us, it was a blessing in disguise. So it's a business. If you talk to our accountant, we have a CPA accountant.
Yep.
He has been the staff accountant for some of Denver's leading nonprofits. And he would say, his name is Kent, he would say, if you look at our books, it'd be difficult to prove that we're a for-profit organization.
Yeah.
But we're not a nonprofit organization.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm in the studio and I'm looking at, you know, some of the equipment we have to buy to do all this stuff, the soundboard and everything.
Yeah.
Does the radio station provide all this stuff?
No.
They don't.
It's our listeners. And sometimes you donate, and that's really, it's really hard to bear, Fred, because you have a labor of love given hundreds of hours of your life. Your wife doesn't even get mad at us. It's so we appreciate her and your kids.
And the producers.
But not only do you co-host Real Science Radio, but when you donate, I cringe because we should be giving you money, but you do donate. Off, thank you for years, for 20 years.
Well, I'm sorry to make you cringe.
Thank you for that. No, it well, it shouldn't be, you know?
Yeah.
You should be paid from Real Science Radio.
Wow, this is, hey, this is fun stuff, and, you know.
It is fun, right?
We're on the winning side.
So, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's really.
Shooting fish in a barrel.
It is
rewarding. It's so easy. It's fun working for Walt Brown and pointing out to all the other scientists who work for Walt Brown on a regular basis.
That's right.
It happens all the time.
The global flood.
Every week we come
theory.
In here, there's like another
Every
story.
Every week. So how did we get onto that? Oh, the evidence against the Big Bang, because the furthest galaxies are twice as large as they thought they were just a few years back.
Well, one more sidetrack here.
Yeah.
So speaking of Walt Brown, coming up in March, you've got an incredible series. I've heard some of the research that's gone on in the pre-production meetings with Brian Nichol on the whole HPT, you know, hydroplate theory heat problem.
Yes.
Because people say there's a heat problem, and that's a reasonable objection.
Yeah, sure.
But there's really solid answers, and I've already heard some of your seen some of your research.
I think we're going to knock it out of the ballpark. So the critics, whether they're creationist or atheist, even anti-creationist, they say Walt Brown's theory of the global flood, the fountains of the great deep model of creation and the flood, that it's unworkable because the oceans would boil, the atmosphere would be scalded, and the crust would melt. So that's quite a criticism.
Yeah.
So Brian Nichol and I, who's an expert, 18 years.
There's one thing I've been worried about on this whole thing in the research. So, you know, Brian Nichol and Walt Brown, I just don't know if they're qualified to talk on this.
Well, okay. you must be saying that because of Walt's PhD.
Well, you know, he got his PhD from MIT. Now, MIT is a small college in Massachusetts. Yeah. Actually, they're not that small. When I was going to college back in I graduated in 1983, and Missouri Rolla at the time was ranked sixth. I remember that. They were the number
in
six
engineering schools.
Yeah, and number one was MIT.
MIT
is like number one every year.
MIT.
So Walt Brown got his PhD from MIT.
From the engineering department, mechanical engineering.
Mechanical engineering in the heat transfer division.
So you would think
this guy would know a little bit about heat transfer.
Then
Brian Nichol works for Walmart?
No, he is. Let's not give the company he works for. But 18 years in the missile division of a U.S. aerospace firm, defense contractor.
Yep.
So very well qualified. Walt Brown to look at the energy budget of his model, his theory, and Brian Nichol to evaluate the criticisms. So that is going to be a really fun RSR answers the HPT heat problems.
Yeah, I personally think it'll be epic. I can't wait for that one.
Yeah, I can't wait too. Okay, so the six science headlines we went through. The next was, and this is what we got to get to today, plants beneath Arctic ice. So cool. Arctic ice retreating, and they found plants that, well, they're still alive. So we got to talk about that. And the next headline was on the opposite side of the globe. So the antipode, the opposite side of the globe, in the Antarctic ice, they found animals under the ice. And that reminds me of when you and I made that epic prediction, science prediction, about Lake Vostok.
Oh, that was a lot of fun.
2 miles below the ice in Antarctica is a lake. And they say that it had been covered by ice and so cut off from the rest of the world for 15 to 20 million years.
Yeah, so what a perfect test to see if evolution is true.
Yes,
because
they
were isolated. They're an isolated population.
Yeah.
And so they,
so
should,
they
have,
should evolve more quickly than other populations.
Yeah. According to Stephen Jay Gould.
And from New York City's Natural History Museum, and one of the world's most famous evolutionists, he's passed away now, and according to most of evolution theory, and the evolutionists were all predicting that this is a perfect laboratory to show evolution, 20 million years of evolution. And contrary to the entire world of Darwinism, is Bob and Fred on the air saying, boy, are they going to be discouraged? We titled the show something about, you know, RSR predicts this lake 2 miles below the ice will show evidence of stasis and creation and not of evolution.
Yeah, and like you said, they expected, you know, this punctuated equilibrium that would then allow evolution to proceed rapidly because it's a small population that's isolated.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen.
Not only did it not happen, they had to close down for the winter season as they always do. So next spring and in the Southern Hemisphere.
Meanwhile, we kept doing weekly shows waiting for them to get the results.
Yeah. And so they break through the last 10 meters of ice. They pull up whatever organisms they could find. And they were so discouraged. And they said they look just like all the other organisms around the world in lakes and streams.
Yeah.
And they were just, because 15 million years, that's three times longer than they say human beings evolved from apes. Three times longer from an ape-like creature. And they say it's really maybe 20 million years. That's the entire length of the Cambrian explosion, where virtually every body plan came from no body plans, and yet they had no evolution. It was fun. So then, Fred, the last headline was, what's going on with the state of New York and the governor of Virginia and their murderous abortion laws? All abortion from the moment of conception, if you intentionally kill that little baby boy or girl, if there's an X and a Y chromosome, it's a boy from the moment of conception. If there are two X's, it's a girl. So if you intentionally kill that little baby boy or girl, that's murder. But they are bragging to the world that they want to kill babies right up to the moment of birth. And then the nutcase Democrat, apparent racist from Virginia, at least in his own college yearbook, showing him in blackface and another with a KKK outfit on. Come on, and it's on his own page, his page. And he said, oh, golly, how did that ever – I never saw that. How did that get there? I would have – you know, I – no way. That can't be me. So anyway, let's talk about that too.
Before we do those headlines, what about this Jussie Smollett from that Empire show?
So Doug McBurney, he's our Monday co-host. You're the Friday co-host. And he says to me a few weeks back, Bob, what do you think about Jussie Smollett? And I'm like, who?
Who's that?
Who's that? And he said, you know, the star of Empire. I said, what's that?
Yeah.
I have no idea. To this day, I don't know what Empire is. I think it's a Star Wars-based show. I have no idea. So Doug says, well, in Chicago, and I say, oh, wait a minute. You mean that homosexual beat himself to a pulp? the fake news hoax guy?
Yeah.
Committed a hate crime against us? Really?
Yeah, really. That's what it was.
It was a hate crime. So we talked about that. And Fred, we've been pointing out that, no, he doesn't just get charged and prosecuted for false reporting. But when he sent himself that death threat with, you know, the N-word and the F-word and all that stuff, and he included in it white powder, which is supposed to be like an anthrax scare.
Mm-hmm.
That is a biological terrorist threat sent through the U.S. mail. That is a significant crime. If I had sent something that looked like a chemical or biological agent through the mail to our radio station to get publicity and said, I want Real Science Radio off the air, I would be in a federal lockup right now. I would have federal charges against me for terroristic threats and use of the U.S. mail. So we've been saying that that's what Smollett needs to be charged with.
Absolutely.
And that he needs to be charged with a hate crime because he is doing to conservative Christians, to white people, because, you know, he had it that it was white people attacking him, saying this is MAGA country. And it's Trump supporters. So,
and what if there had been a video of this, an actual video? There would have been riots on the street, like Rodney King.
Right.
You know,
when it was his personal trainer, an extra from his TV show, who he knows and hired, paid to do this.
Yep.
Yeah, there would have been riots. There very well could have been riots. People could have been killed.
Yep.
Right, exactly.
And so the most he faces is 3 years.
Yeah, well, that's because the media has been ignoring the biological terrorist threat sent through the U.S. mail.
You're exactly
right. I don't know
why.
I have no idea. We've been saying that for a week now.
Yeah.
And the other things we've been saying for 2 weeks. And Fred, as Doug and I recall, before even the second tier media began to say this is a hoax, we came out on the show. Not that any big deal. It's obvious. If you have a biblical worldview, you're not biased. You see, this is a fraud. This is a hoax. This is a liberal homosexual beat himself to a pulp. Well, he hired his friends to beat him up. Not really. They even faked that. He didn't have broken ribs. He didn't go to the hospital. It was all a lie, for obvious lie from the beginning. But he should be charged with a hate crime because he is prejudiced. He is bigoted. And he tried to get everyone to hate white Americans, everyone to hate fundamentalist Christians, everyone to hate people who believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. He's the
exactly.
hater. He's the hater. He needs to be charged with a hate crime on top of everything else.
Yep, I agree.
And last thing, Fred, about him. 1 week before he paid his friends to beat him up, we were on the air, Doug McBurney and I, and I think I was channeling Jussie Smollett because I said to Doug, we titled the show, I'd Rather Be Choked Than Woked. And this guy's the most woke actor in America. You know, liberal, homosexual. Yep. He's the most woke actor in America, and he ends up with this noose around his neck. And our show was titled, I'd Rather Be Choked Than Woked. It's just too much.
Oh, man.
What a coincidence. So the headlines.
So the headlines, Bob. So retreating ice in Canada's Arctic Circle, it exposed plants that had been covered by the ice for the first time in what they say is 40,000 years, 40? Or maybe 120,000 years.
Okay, now that bimodal target, it's either 40,000 or 120,000.
Yeah.
That's funny. Let's talk about that in a moment. But first, they were surprised just a few years ago when they found plants under retreating glaciers, and they were 400 years old, and they said, hey, look, these things, they're still alive. Fred, if I recall, you're the one who found that paper. It was in PNAS, the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, that if the plants were covered for 400 years, that was a shocker to them.
Yeah, it overturned their long-held assumption that plant remains exposed, you know, from a glacier retreating would be dead. They've long assumed that.
Yeah, and, you know, there are somatic cells, the cells of the body of an organism. And then there are spores, the seeds of plants, which the way God designed organisms, he gave the seeds a different kind of structure so that
to be more robust.
They're so robust they can endure for centuries or even thousands of years. It's truly astounding what God did. But when they were surprised to find plants that were still alive after 400 years, that they were able to regenerate, and they even took these plants and they basically brought new stem cells into existence from these plants.
Yep.
So now they're saying 40,000 years. This reminds me of our squeeze, evolution's big squeeze. All the numbers don't work. Everything shocks the evolutionist every time they turn around.
Yeah, so their 40,000 is based on carbon dating.
Yeah, but they don't always really go by radiometric dating.
Oh, they don't.
Not when it contradicts their story. So why do they say that these plants have been buried for 40,000 or 120,000 years? That's like going to try to buy a house and they say, well, we're thinking of asking 100,000 or 300,000 for the house. You're like, well, can't you sort of narrow that down?
If you're thinking of that, how about 50,000?
Yeah, right. So why would they say if the carbon dating says the plants are about 40,000 years old, and really that's typical of dinosaur bones from all over the world, right? You carbon date them. There should be no radiocarbon because it decays in only thousands of years. It can't last a million years. There's radiocarbon-14 in diamonds that are supposed to be a billion years old. So this stuff is all young. And so the amount of carbon-14 in these plants are about the same as in dinosaur bones. But why do they throw that out and they say, well, maybe really it's 120,000 years old, these plants? Why?
Well, the plants, you know, they're like alive, you know?
Yeah.
So when they look back, when was the last time these plants were exposed to the sun? And their ice age cycle is about 120,000 years.
The ice age cycle. The ice age cycle.
Yeah.
Okay, so 120,000.
And they think this century is the warmest, like, almost ever, you know, in a long time.
Right. Because they keep fudging the numbers.
They do fudge the numbers.
Right.
They want to promote global warming.
It's reported again. People who are curious, just rsr.org/warm. And
yeah.
To see all the fudging of the numbers, which is documented by, like, some of the world's leading climate scientists, like up in Boulder at NOAA up there, in the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration,
yeah,
and in peer-reviewed scientific journals saying, guys, you got to stop fudging the numbers.
Yeah, and cherry-picking numbers. Picking numbers closer to a ship or a buoy that would obviously be warmer.
Right. So Fred, if their ice age cycle is right, their estimate, which it's not, but if it were, then they think, really, this is maybe 120,000 years ago these plants were covered up. But why would they even say that when the carbon dating says 40,000? Why would they say that? Because the 120,000 fits their story better.
Yep.
And we've seen it with Skull 1470. They'll throw out multiple lines of independent radiometric dating because it throws their story out of whack, and they'll go with the story every time. So the radiometric dating is only used as an excuse when it happens to fit.
Yeah, an isotopic dating, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Bob, one of our former producers up in Alaska, Russ, I thought it was hilarious. You know, this new green deal, just thinking of global warming.
Yeah.
You know, if you get a chance, go to rsr.org. And where's that promo we did about 3 years, 4 years ago? We're dressed up as cavemen.
Yeah, right.
And Russ said, if the Green Deal gets passed, this is actually Bob and Fred in the future.
That is so embarrassing.
That was so good.
It's like a 20-second video of you and me dressed up like cavemen at Red Rocks in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains.
Russ was actually there.
Oh, he was there. So rsr.org/cavemen, people could see the photo, see the video.
Yep. That's us in the future if the Green Deal gets passed.
Right. So, Fred, last point about if these plants saw the sun 40,000 years ago or 120,000 years ago, so that the glaciers had retreated that much, that means that you don't need human-induced global warming for the glaciers to retreat.
That's right.
I mean, it's in their own papers. There were no SUVs back then. There was no Earth back then. But there would have been no industrial revolution. There would have been no modern carbon crisis like they imagine.
No Al Gore.
No Al Gore. Al Gore. All right. So anyway, that's fun. And Fred, that reminds me on our website of 2 million-year-old leaves that they found in permafrost. And they look at them and they're like, these look like they're like brand new. And
yeah.
They think they're 2 million years old. And on our rsr.org/polystrates page, we show two leaves that are fossilized that are standing vertically through different microstrata. So like two leaves were just standing there for what? 100 years? 80 years?
Yeah, who knows?
And on end?
Yep.
So funny. Polystrates. Maybe the best polystrate fossil page in the world.
I think so.
rsr.org/polystrates.
Yep. So Bob, on the other side of the globe,
yeah,
they found tiny animal carcasses in a lake beneath the Antarctic, and it was a huge surprise to them, of course. They found crustaceans and tardigrade animals, which are interesting.
Tardigrades.
Does that mean they're late for class?
Tardigrades, yeah. Well, they're little eight-legged micro animals, right?
Yeah, they're like little bears. They really are called that by the guy who discovered
bears,
them.
Water bears.
Little water bears.
Fred, I don't know if they're cute or just creepy looking. I don't know what a Care Bear looks like, but they remind me of microbe Care Bears.
Well, yeah, I saw a picture of these, and they look
They're in your yard.
Yeah.
If you pull out a lump of grass from your yard, put it under a microscope, look for water bears.
Yep.
They're
a tardigrade.
They're creepy. But, Fred, you know, they have an even number of legs, right?
They do. They have eight legs.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. That reminds me of a funny thing that happened on the way to the forum tonight. Somebody said, hey, why aren't there any animals with an odd number of legs? That's an interesting question. And I said, well, because natural selection can only count by twos. Why else?
Yeah.
Why would you even ask?
Exactly.
What a dumb question.
You idiot.
And actually, it's part of the symmetry and appropriateness of God's design principles.
Well, Bob, you know, actually, recently, some evolutionists claim that kangaroos actually have three legs.
Fred, that's because they're evolutionists, right? And they can't tell a tail from a tail.
Yeah.
They can't tell a tail from a tail. Silly evolutionist tricks are for kids, you know? With dozens or hundreds of legs on different organisms, you'd think evolution would experiment just now and then with an odd number of legs. I mean, come on, somewhere along the line, right? Spiders have 8 legs. Crabs have, 10 legs. They're called decapods. Crabs have 10 legs. Then there's millipedes and centipedes.
Yeah, you would think, centipede would be 100 and millipede 1,000 legs.
Yeah.
But they actually have 30 or more legs.
Typically, right?
Yeah, 30 or more, and it's never an odd number. Some have as many as 750, the white millipede.
That's unbelievable. You'd think somewhere along the line that evolution could just throw in an extra leg or so. Why not 749 legs?
Yeah. And if those millipedes lived in a socialist country, they'd have to cut off all their legs and all of them would have to have 30.
That's right. So, Fred, that brings us to our last headline that we announced 3 weeks ago, which today is old news, but really when they're killing the innocent, it doesn't get old. It just means we have to not forget. In New York State, they celebrated. They are making clear you can kill your unborn child through all 9 months, just like it's always been in Colorado.
Yeah.
With Warren Hearn up in Boulder.
Sadly,
undercover video recently by Steven Crowder. So, and we went undercover into Warren Hearn's abortion mill years ago. That's how we got his textbook, Abortion Practice, which is chilling because you can't buy it on Amazon. But Fred, the New York State Assembly voted that you can kill your baby through all 9 months, right up to the moment the mother is giving birth, and like it is here in Colorado and elsewhere. And then the governor of Virginia was defending an identical bill that has now since failed, but they wanted in Virginia, some legislators, to make it legal to kill your baby through all 9 months. And he's a doctor, which means he's probably a pro-abort.
Mm-hmm.
And he is. And he was defending that. And then he slipped into infanticide territory.
So why would you say because he's a doctor? Is there a connection between doctor and abortion?
Or? All the big medical associations are radically pro-child killing. And for the most part, they're pro-euthanasia. They call it differently. Hospice, they're the killing fields. They schedule when somebody's going to die. They say, well, your grandfather's going to die on the weekend, so get all your family together.
Yep.
And then somebody's late. They can't make it by the weekend. They get there Monday. And so then the grandfather dies 10 minutes after the last family member gets there. It's pain management is one thing, but knowing that you're overdosing the patient so that you can predict, because doctors can't predict the day somebody's going to die, generally speaking, unless you had your head cut off, then he's going to die in the next 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, they can't. But hospice, they're really good at predicting.
Oh, man.
And that's scary. It's
and you
the
know,
killing
it
fields.
It is. And New York, as everyone knows, they celebrated. They were clapping and cheering.
Yes.
They put pink lights on one of the buildings in Times Square.
So infanticide, I wrote an article on the pro-choice leaders. And this is the liberal leftist groups and leaders from around the world who are also pro-infanticide, killing babies after they're born. And recently we played audio from Richard Dawkins. He was speaking about killing babies after they're born. And he actually advocated, Fred, like if they're handicapped, if they're ill, that it should be legal to kill them up to maybe 2 years of age. Kill babies up to 2 years of age.
And we have that audio, right?
Yeah, we're going to play the audio. And you wonder if they would use a gun to kill the baby, would more liberals realize it was wrong if they used the gun?
Yeah,
instead of their very sterile ways of killing kids. Let's hear this.
The argument in favor of abortion up until the baby was 1 year old, say, or 2 years old. And so if a baby was 1 year old and turned out to have some horrible, incurable disease that meant it was going to die in agony in later life, what about infanticide? Strictly morally, I can see no objection to that at all. I would be in favor of infanticide.
Yeah, he has no moral absolutes.
No, he's the world's leading evolutionist, leading atheist.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Dawkins from Oxford in England, celebrated by the left. He's a child killer. He's been a child killer his whole career. And killing babies after they're born, it's just the next logical evolution. That's all it is. It's killing a baby. So whether you kill them a little earlier or a little later, they're murderers.
Yep. You know, Bob, and the way the left, everything is pushing so far to the left, it's impacting the way Christians think.
Yeah.
You know, a couple days ago, I'm heading to work, and I was listening to a radio show that has Bob Duco do this two-minute.
A Christian,
yeah,
conservative.
Christian,
yeah.
Evangelical. And he was talking about, you know, Donald Trump's support for homosexuality and how really that's not that bad of a thing because he's really come out against the transgender in the bathrooms, which is a good thing.
Oh, yeah,
but
right.
Things have gone so far to the left that it's
right.
Now everything seems okay with homosexuality.
Right, Fred, 28 years ago on this show, 5 days a week, we've been on for almost three decades, we said that eventually Christians will only oppose homosexual dental care. That will be it. Everything else will be okay.
Yep.
So now we have our superfluous
list. Another prediction
list
of the radio show.
Well, yeah.
An unfortunate one.
That's right. We have our superfluous list of Christian leaders and groups going gay.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say Bob Duco is qualified for that list. I hope not. Maybe. I hope not.
Yeah.
But if somebody goes to kgov.com/superfluous. We call it superfluous of Christian leaders going gay because superfluous means you don't need it. It's redundant. It's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't need this list because everybody's on the list.
Yep.
It's just horrific how the church, the morality of the church has collapsed because it's not on a biblical foundation generally. And that's even true often of creationists. Creationists are often ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and that God made us male and female.
Mm-hmm.
Male and female, and that homosexuality is not only a sin, it's not only a perversion, it's also a crime. And it was a crime for 3,500 years. And now, James Dobson on down, they've sided not with Moses, Jesus, and Paul, but with Hillary, Hollywood, humanists, the homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
That's who they've sided with, saying equal rights for homosexuals. That's a Focus on the Family slogan from back with Amendment 2 in the campaign, if you remember, in Colorado.
Yeah, and if you love your neighbor, why would you want them to go into a lifestyle that's going to probably, it's definitely going to kill them at a much younger age than they normally would have lived to?
Yeah.
It's not, you know, God isn't some mean ogre in the sky. He has these things, his user manual for us in the Bible, there's reasons for it.
Right.
It's for our own good.
Yeah. And if you love your neighbor, you'll warn him. You won't say, oh, it's so cool that you're doing meth. And then, you know what? Your teeth look great.
Oh, you're near the edge of that cliff and you're about to fall off. That is cool. That'll be neat to see if you can fly.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. That's like saying, I think people have the right to live however they want to live.
Mm-hmm.
It's called hatred. Sometimes it goes by the name of apathy. But Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself.
Yep.
So, hey, Fred, thank you so much. What does that have to do with science? Well, since God made us.
Yeah.
And he made us male and female. And he instituted marriage. And the whole world has known marriage. The whole world.
Yeah.
So,
hey, it's telethon month, so be sure to please help us out. There's great materials. The plot, Your Life's Work, is awesome.
An overview of the Bible.
Yep.
Really fun in either book form or audio teaching seminars of the plot and overview of the Bible. So, all right, Fred, thank you so much.
Thanks, Bob.
So this is Bob Enyart and Fred Williams for Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.